Blog Talk Radio.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going.
Hello, everybody. God bless you today. This is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. This is Susan Puzio, and I want to welcome you to the Prophetic News radio broadcast on Blog Talk Radio. And we are in our 6.5 years now here on Blog Talk Radio, and we've recently teamed up with Rapture Ready Radio. And so our program is also played on the Rapture Ready Radio Network, which is also on Blog Talk Radio. So we want to give a big shout out to all our new listeners there. I just want to mention my new book, which is called Seed Faith: Can a Man Bribe God? How False Teachers Manipulate and Hypnotize You for Offerings. And they do. Yeah. Just like the Bible says, and my people love to have it so. So that's why we're in the mess we're in. Anyway, the book is currently available on Amazon. The Kindle version is on Amazon. And the print version I hope to release next week. And I will release it on Lulu, LULU.com. So then it'll also be available in paperback and hardback. So whichever one you want to order will be available. And it is a good book to give to your friends, especially people that are involved in the Word of Faith movement, because we chronicle in the book the lives of many of the Word of Faith teachers and how some of them wound up. Some of them wound up dying sick. Some of them wound up losing most of their money. And so we do a pretty good job researching these people and giving you the information that you might need to help you witness to your friends or your relatives or whoever it might be that they're involved in these kind of groups. Maybe they're thinking about making an escape, because sometimes you really have to escape from these churches and these people, because they will shun you. Now, I can be friends with just about anybody. I don't care if you agree with me or not. But I find that, for the most part, Word of Faith people, they do not want to be friends with you if you do not agree with their doctrines. They will say that one of the things they like to say is, you've got a spirit of rejection, or you're wounded, or some of the other things they try to use to intimidate you. So maybe you'll come back into the fold and you will partake of bribing God the way they try to bribe God to get things. So, but thank God, amen, that we're free from all that. Hallelujah. We don't have to be bound up. And we go about our business of seeking first the kingdom of God. And he said, all these things will be added unto you. So God himself, Almighty God, meets our needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So amen and amen to that. And I don't need to sow a seed, and I don't need to sow a seed to a prophet, and I don't need to sow a seed to an apostle, and I don't need to bring my 10% to the church. I need God. I need God. I need his help every day to help me. And he gives us all things freely. Let's look at a couple of those scriptures here about prayer. Now, you know, a lot of the Word of Faith teachers, they don't like these scriptures. They don't like these scriptures on prayer. They like those scriptures that show me the money scriptures, which don't exist. But Psalm 102, verse 17, He will regard the prayer of the destitute and not despise their prayer. Colossians 4, 2, continue in prayer, watch in the same with thanksgiving. We pray, we believe, and we know that God answers according to His will, not according to our will, because most of us really, we don't know what's good for us. Sometimes we think we know what's good for us, but I am so glad, and I can honestly say this, that some of the things that I wanted in my life, and I prayed for, and I fasted for, and I wailed for, and God didn't want me to have it. And when I look back on it now, I say hallelujah, because it's a good thing He didn't give me what I wanted, because I sure would have been in a mess. Matthew 21:22, and all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. Hallelujah. Psalm 6:9, the Lord hath heard my supplication. The Lord will receive my prayer. Psalm 54:2, hear my prayer, O God. Give ear to the words of my mouth. Psalm 88:2, let my prayer come before thee. Incline thine ear unto my cry. Amen. Job 16:17, not for any injustice in mine hands, also my prayer is pure. So we come before God with a pure heart, and we ask, and you know God's not going to give us things if we ask amiss, to consume it on our lusts. And see, these prosperity preachers, they know that we all struggle with our flesh, and they know what to target. They know how to target your selfishness, because we know, especially before we knew the Lord, just like children, you know, children can be very selfish, and you can't cultivate that behavior in a child, because when they grow up, yikes, they will be a brat. So it's the same way in the church. These false teachers have grown up a generation of brats that they will only do things if they get something back. And so this really has damaged the church tremendously, because we don't see people doing things because we love each other and we really have compassion for each other and we sincerely want to help each other. We have an angle. So when we look at our brethren, we have dollar signs in our eyes, and we're thinking, okay, so if I do this thing for that person, then they'll do this for me. And that's called politics, and we don't want to get involved in politics. Amen. most of us that have belonged to churches, we saw enough politics to last us a lifetime, and we don't want to do that. But I know when I was coming out of these seed phase teachings and the tithing teachings back in 1997, it took me a long time to rewire my brain to get all that teaching out of me. And eventually, of course, thank you, Lord, I was able to get that thinking out of my mind, and especially the fear. I had a friend of mine say to me the other day about tithing, and they were saying that they didn't give God enough money, and now they're having financial problems. So I said, well, I don't think so, you know, because just because you go to church on Sunday and you put 10% of your money down on the altar, it's not a guarantee that then God has to pay you back and then you have to have financial blessings. So the way you get financial blessings for the most part is you work and you get an education, and then maybe God will give you an idea. You can be an inventor, you can be a singer, you can be a writer. There's a lot of things you can do to earn a living. And so we work, we have integrity, we give because we love people and we want to help. If you're going to a church and you want to help the church, then by all means, help the church. I'm not against pastors getting a salary or ministers getting a salary, or I'm not against any of that. If you work, you're supposed to get paid. So, but, you know, a lot of these ministries, and we've probably all volunteered for ministries, so we know a little bit about what we're talking about, but they'd like you to volunteer. Meanwhile, they're making million-dollar salaries, and then you're volunteering. And so they like to have people volunteer so they can get free labor. And but the Bible says, and it's in the Old Testament somewhere, I can't remember exactly where that scripture is right now, but there is a scripture that says if people work, you're supposed to pay them. You can't expect people to always volunteer and people to constantly be doing things for you for free. If they want to, then by all means, they say, I would like to give you a gift, then that's fine. But we're not supposed to take advantage of people. And the way these preachers do, they're living in a $10 million house, and you're volunteering. They love for you to volunteer for the prayer line. They're not going to pray for their partners. Oh, no. They don't have time. No, the prayer requests go in the garbage for the most part. They say, send in your prayer request, and I will lay my hands on it. Meanwhile, they've got thousands. Do you think that they are sitting there all day long looking at those prayer requests and praying for them? No, they don't care. I've known people that have seen these prayer requests in the garbage, and they take the money out. They have these huge mailing rooms where they open envelopes and they take the money out, and most of the prayer requests go right in the trash. So save your money. You can pray for yourself. Your prayer is just as good as Benny Hinn's or Rod Parsley's or anybody else's prayer. So there's nothing wrong with asking people to pray for you. It's great to have people praying for you and to have friends that you can ask for prayer. But you can pray for yourself. You don't have to pay anybody to pray for you. And they don't have any kind of special anointing because only Jesus, he's the one that has the special anointing. So if we need anything, we can go directly to him. And he is able. So let's look at a couple things in the news. Now, I did get a couple things this week. Now, if people... please email me if you have any tips or you have any ideas for guests. I want to do some programs on some of the cults, like Scientology and Christian Science and Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormons. If you know anybody that's been in any of these cults and they're now saved, then I would love to interview these people and get their point of view, especially the before and after of what they went through when they belonged to these groups. But somebody sent me an email this week about the World Vision headquarters in Canada. They are allowing the Herbert W. Armstrong's group. Of course, he's now passed away, but Armstrongism and some of the things that they don't believe in. They don't believe in the Trinity. They don't believe in the physical resurrection. They don't believe in hell. But anyway, they're allowing them to use their building for a seminar. Now, anyway, this gentleman has written a letter to them asking them why they would allow this group to use their building. And we asked the same question. Why would you allow this group to use your building? Because whoever you are associated with, even if you don't agree, but if you have a building and you let a cult use your building, then people are going to associate you with these people. So, yeah, I have that question too. Why would you allow it? Now, also, I received an email this week with some of the antics here of Rod Parsley. Now, this is Rockin' Rod, and we know that Rod has had throat cancer in the last year. He was silent. He couldn't talk for 6 months or more, and he was receiving radiation treatments for throat cancer. So now Rod is back somewhat preaching now, but this is his schedule, and this is what his programs were about all week. He never stops. Saturday, April 2nd, Jubilee, you're now season, which means you have to send in a Jubilee offering. Monday, April 4th, the Joseph Blessing. This is a new blessing that you can buy from Rod. It's called the Joseph Blessing. Then on Tuesday, April 6th, he's got, again, the Jubilee. And then he's got this guy, Coy Barker, who's the new kid on the block here. The new pimp on the block, I will say, who has gone a-whoring after offerings. Ugh, this man is very despicable. And then on Wednesday, Rod has the Joseph Blessing again. Joseph Blessing. And then on Thursday, he has the seven anointings of the Passover offering. And then Friday, he finishes up with the hundredfold blessing. He never stops. I couldn't believe it. He didn't have one program on during the week where he was actually preaching the gospel. No, every day it was about a new scam that he thought of. So he didn't stop. He did not stop. And Rod's in trouble. This man is in big trouble with God. I don't know what it's going to take. I think that when you have throat cancer and very painful treatments that he went through, sticking hoses down his throat and all kinds of things, and it's torture. And yet, does he say, God, I am lost and undone without you and your son? Does he cry out for mercy? Does he say, God, I repent for selling the gospel of Jesus Christ? I repent for it. I repent that I have robbed the sick and the poor, and I have deceived your church and your saints. No, what does he do? He spends a whole week with a different scam. What's it going to take? Now, here's a story that I saw this today. A pastor claims that he went to heaven and he took pictures when he was there. And he's selling the pictures. It looks like he's selling the pictures for $5,000. Yeah. He wants to bless everyone with the experience I had talking with Jesus. He's a great guy, and he showed me a lot of love. I can't wait to get back up there with him. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the pictures are $5,000 a piece. Yeah. He went, he saw Jesus. Mm-hmm. Yep. Well, I don't think so. I don't know what Jesus he saw, but you know, he didn't see our Jesus, because Jesus came once and he's coming again, so kind of hard to see Jesus. You're going to see Jesus when you die. You're going to see Jesus. And then if we're alive when he during the second coming, we're going to see him. But no. Mm-mm. No, he didn't go to heaven. Nope. I wonder what those pictures look like. It's like Juanita Bynum. She's another one. She claims that she saw the face of Jesus, and she puts it on this, I don't know if she puts it like on a canvas or on a towel or something like that. She puts the image, and then she takes this thing with the image of the so-called Jesus, and she puts it, when she's praying for people, she puts it over people's faces. She almost suffocates them with it. These poor people, can you imagine going to church and somebody puts a mask on your face? What next? Well, the people let her do it. They let her do it. So I was telling that to a friend of mine yesterday, because she was saying, oh, these prosperity preachers. And I said, well, yeah, they are despicable. Now, they are despicable, but grown people, men in suits with ties, well-educated people, and women with pretty dresses, and they go to church, and they let these people take advantage of them. So nobody is standing over them with a gun to their head. They do it willingly. They rob you with a smile on their face, and then what do the people do? They take out their checkbooks, and they smile, and then they wave the thing in the air, and they're happy that they're being robbed. Yeah, they're happy. Yeah. So it's our job as preachers and teachers of the gospel to re-educate people and to teach them what is the truth. But of course, everybody has a Bible too, so aren't we responsible for reading it, what it says in there, and not believing everything that people say? So I don't like what they're doing, but yet grown so-called intelligent people are responsible too for their own actions. And if people quit supporting these people, they will go away. They will go away. Television time is very expensive. They're not going to stay on television if they don't have money. It's very expensive to be on television. And so these people create the monster of their public persona, and then they have to do everything they can to keep up the image. Because it's kind of an embarrassment if you're a TV preacher and then all of a sudden you go off the air. People are saying, wow, what happened to them? So it's embarrassing. So they have, like Rod Parsley, he's on so many networks, it's very expensive for him to be on. So he has to just keep scamming, because he has to keep this monster going that he created, this monster called Rod Parsley. And so that's why he has to have 5 programs in a row of some kind of scam to get you to let loose of that checkbook that you have over there. He loves your checkbook. He says it too. He says, I love your money. And he does too. He loves it. And doesn't the Bible say that the love of money, not money itself, because we need money to live. We live in a capitalistic society, which I'm fine with, and I don't like socialism. Now, I'm not into sharing everything with everybody else. Nah, no. I'm definitely not into communism. No, don't like communism. No, don't like that. And but we see. Isn't it interesting to see how many people are buying into socialism in this country? And it doesn't work. if anybody has been to these countries where they have socialism, it's awful. It's an awful system, and we don't ever want to go there. I'm not into paying your bills unless God tells me to pay your bills. So you pay your own bills. And we don't need everybody having a sense of entitlement that, oh, you have to give me something, and the government has to give me something, and my friends have to give me something, and the church has to give me. No, nobody has to give you anything. If you want something, get it yourself. Amen? All right. Okay, let's see now. Let's hear Rod now. Rod, he's got a new gig going now over there. Is Rod has a new thing now. He calls Benjamin, the Benjamin anointing. Yeah, the Benjamin. Here's Rod now with the Benjamin.
It's thrilling my soul.
Yes, sir.
And I know the Breakthrough Partners want me to get out of the way because they see me every day. And so I'm going to get out of the way, and I want you to bring this on to us now.
Judah means praise. Benjamin, we're using that seed on today. A praiser with a seed will lack nothing.
Whew.
Completely nothing.
All right.
Praise to me is fertile soil.
Yeah.
Seed is faith. Where praise and faith meet, miracles happen all the time.
Where praise and faith meet,
miracles happen
tweet
all the time.
Tweet that out, young man. I want my team here to tweet that
it
out.
It happens all the time. And while you were talking, the Holy Spirit impressed upon me and said, if they change their company, God will change their currency.
Jesus.
The people that are about to give, it is not your money that is the problem. It's where you've been sowing it, who you've been taking out, who you've been helping. If they're not worshipers,
all right,
then they're warriors.
Wow.
If they are not praisers, they are people who are like parasites.
Mm.
And in Genesis 43, verse 17 and 18, I'll
yes.
sum it up. It is praise that tells his father Jacob,
yeah.
we cannot live in the famine because this man is asking for Benjamin.
Oh, my.
Joseph has not revealed himself. He's talking to them behind the curtain. How's your family?
Yeah.
Do you have another brother? They said his name is Benjamin.
Over and over he asked.
Bring me him.
Bring me Benjamin.
If you bring me him,
yeah.
you will survive the famine.
My
if you hold him.
My God.
If you hold him, I cannot help you. And literally they went and the father said, I've lost Joseph.
Yeah.
My favorite.
Yeah.
I can't give you Benjamin.
Mm.
Judah steps in
mm.
and says, Father, give him to me.
Here comes praise.
Praise acts for it. Father, give him to me and I promise you
yeah.
we'll come back safely.
My.
And they take Benjamin to Joseph.
Yeah.
Benjamin and Joseph are the only two that are whole brothers.
Yeah, that's right.
So what Joseph was saying is, I have the right to Benjamin.
I have the right.
We're telling some of you, we have the right to it.
That's right.
We're the distributors of wealth. The prophetic is on our lives.
Yes.
And we're telling you behind this veil right now.
Mm-hmm, God.
If you give it to the ministry, your whole entire life during famine,
mm.
you won't know the difference.
Mm.
The woman that had a little meal,
mm.
she had harvest during famine.
She did.
3.5 years of famine.
That's right.
She's the only one that's a Betty Crocker of the Bible. She's making cupcakes
yeah.
full sail.
Yeah.
Everyone's loving it. But if you go to the 42nd chapter, this is where we want y'all to read and keep it. Verse 27 and 8. And one of them opened his sack to give his donkey feed in the lodging place.
Mm-hmm.
He saw his money. It was in the mouth of the sack. They thought they only had food
yeah.
for the journey. But Joseph said, slip some money
my
in there.
God,
the
God.
Next verse says, and said to his brothers, my money has returned. Here it is in my sack.
In my sack.
Money they didn't work for.
No.
They were going to get Benjamin, but already had some in the sack.
Think of that.
Verse 28 says this, and I'm done with this, says, and their hearts sank. Because they were afraid. What is going on? People are about to receive scared money.
Oh, my.
Money that they didn't work for.
Oh, my.
Money they did not expect.
Mm.
They're barely eating.
Yeah.
Now the Lord said, I'm going to put money in there so you can eat what you want to eat.
My God.
Starving people eat anything.
Yeah.
Hungry people read the menu.
Think of that.
And the problem we have is when you take for God to eat, you can tell that they've never eaten
mm.
by them asking you, what can I order? But if God invites you to the table, if
come
you
on.
Turned on this television
come on.
And you're watching us now, you invited to the table. You don't look at the price.
Mm.
Order off the menu.
Yes.
But do this. Give me Benjamin.
Because yes.
I'm telling you, what was yours was in your sack before we asked you for that
That's
money.
Right. That's right.
They have it.
It's already there.
They won't even open it.
No.
And they were afraid. When they opened it, they said, my money is in the sack. But they were afraid to spend it.
Your miracle is in the bag.
It's already in there.
It's in the bag. It's there. You have it. It's in your possession. It's within your ability to do. If you're listening right now, I believe that.
Everyone's going to do it. Judah has negotiated a deal for you.
Think of that.
The deal is sweet.
Think of that.
The deal is bring me Benjamin. Then it says when they brought Benjamin, Joseph came from behind the veil and said, set the table.
Oh, my.
They eat with me at 12 noon.
Oh, my.
And they're eating afraid.
Yeah.
And they have to tell him, we want to tell you that we found money. He said it was yours. He said none of it would have been yours if you would have withheld Benjamin.
Benjamin.
You would have lost it all.
Mm.
What are you withholding?
Talk to him.
We're asking thousands of you. No, not 10, 20. We are talking to millions of people.
Mm.
And all of you that know Prophet Hall know, I don't make these appeals. Except God sent me to a table. And what a table I am sitting at. A ground, a fertile ground that deserves your support. $100, that's Benjamin. 99 and a half won't do. It just won't do. If you got to borrow a quarter from your friend, go all the way. Because God says you're about to sit at different tables. You change your company.
Yeah.
God will change your currency.
My God.
When he gave the man 5 talents, he made another 5. That's because the money that God gave him to start with changed his company. He didn't go to 5 and deal with 1.
My.
If I was a caterpillar and started off broke and I become a butterfly, now I have what I need.
Oh, it's hard to believe, isn't it? These two are masters. Yeah, you have to sit at the right table. You have to give your money to Rod Parsley. You gotta have to give those Benjamins over to Rod Parsley, and they're telling you have to change your company. Don't give to worriers. No, they said if you give to worriers, no, you're not gonna get anything back. You have to give to praisers. You have to give your money to praisers. And notice he says that his name I think is Todd Hall. I never heard of the guy, Prophet Todd Hall, and he says. Him and Rod are distributors of wealth. Wow. Distributors of wealth. Yep. And notice Rod in the background. He's eating it up. He loves it. He's giggling away. cackling away. I notice I have some callers here. I think they might just be listening, but I'm going to ask if they have a question. Do you have a question or are you just listening?
Just listening, ma'am.
Okay. And then I have 919. Are you just listening or do you have a question?
Hey, Susan, this is Vincent. I was just listening, but I can't believe what I just heard on that last clip.
Yeah.
My goodness. And the thing about it, I was beating myself in the head because I was like, I used to be taken in by this type of stuff.
Yeah.
You know? And now that you've heard the truth and you can just hear the manipulation and twisting the scriptures. I mean, I'm listening to them. They're talking about, you know, their money was in the bag and like, you got to be
They have a big bag. They have a big bag.
And change your currency. I mean,
yeah.
we all use the same currency that everybody else does.
You know
what I mean?
Yeah. It's called faith.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, honest. These guys are too much. It's a different scam every day.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And I wanted to tell you, I'm reading your book right now. And oh my goodness, I tell you, I'm glad I got that book on my Kindle. That's a great book.
Yeah, it's informative. And I thank you very much for reading it. And I wanted it to be a blessing. I really did. So I'm glad I did it.
Yeah, yeah, and I encourage anybody else to read it too, because you know, this thing keeps on. You know, it just, I mean, when is it going to stop? When are people's eyes going to be open to the truth about what these guys are doing? Look, you go to work and you make your hard-earned money. Ain't these rascals do not have a right, really, to beg and plead and tell you better give some money to us or else. You know, they really look. Take care of your family. You know, that's the thing. That's the number one thing. Reason why you go to work. You take care of your family. If you have some money left over and you want to give it, then fine. But
that's your
number one priority is to take and don't listen to these people always talking about God first, God first, God first. You know, that's their way of saying when you get your money, give the church some money first, then you can pay your bills. No, I'm paying my bills.
Yeah, amen. Amen, because I want my electricity. I love my electricity.
I like my telephone.
I like my telephone, and I like my computer. So, I'm paying my bills. I'm paying my bills. So I want to thank you. It was great talking with you, Brother Vince, and you're still on with your program, Truth Sharks, on Blog Talk Radio?
Yes, ma'am. It's been kind of iffy for the last month or so. I had some things come up and whatever, and plus working and whatever, but I'm still there.
Okay, so don't forget to check out our brother Vince on Truth Sharks on Blog Talk Radio. You will enjoy him. So God bless you. Thank you for calling and listening. All right, everybody. Okay, so we're going to go back now. I've got this clip here. Now, this one, you're going to find this one very hard to believe. I almost fell off my chair this morning when I heard this one. Rod says that we can control God because God doesn't move unless we do something to make him move. So here's Rod on controlling God.
That harvest is already there, or you wouldn't have the seed in your hand. The seed is but the key that unlocks the harvest that it came from. Are you listening to me? So if you want to release what's already there, God already said, I know the plan I have for you, plans to bless you. Wealth and riches shall be in your house. The blessing of the Lord maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. What you've got in your hand is full of sorrow. There's sorrow all around you. Make that a seed. Make Benjamin, that $100, make it a seed today. Do it right now. Don't say I can't. Kick the tea out of can. Go into canon business.
Yeah.
And release something out of your inside and the heavenlies that will begin to meet your need. That seed is your connection to divine activity. God is waiting to move.
Hallelujah.
Will you lose him? God said, I divorce myself from my ability to act independently in your life. You're saying, why won't God do something? God is saying, show me you want me involved in your situation. Give me something that means something to you, and I'm going to release to you more than you ever dreamed was possible. I am blessed. Now look, I want to send you some things. I really had no idea when I walked in the studio that this...
Okay, I know that you found that very hard to believe, and I'm going to play it again just in case you missed it. Rod just said that we have to lose God. We have to lose God. And the way we lose him is to show him our faith by showing him our money. Okay, let's listen to it again.
That harvest is already there, or you wouldn't have the seed in your hand. The seed is but the key that unlocks the harvest that it came from. Are you listening to me? So if you want to release what's already there, God already said, I know the plan I have for you, plans to bless you. Wealth and riches shall be in your house. The blessing of the Lord maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. What you've got in your hand is full of sorrow. There's sorrow all around you. Make that a seed. Make Benjamin. Benjamin, that $100, make it a C today. Do it right now. Don't say I can't. Kick the T out of can't. Go into canon business.
Yeah.
And release something out of your inside and the heavenlies that will begin to meet your need. That seed is your connection to divine activity. God is waiting to move.
Hallelujah.
Will you lose him? God said, I divorce myself from my ability to act independently in your life. You're saying, why won't God do something? God is saying, show me you want me involved in your situation. Give me something that means something to you, and I'm going to release to you more than you ever dreamed was possible. I am blessed. Now,
I don't know about you, but that almost leaves me breathless. Oh, how low can you go? How low can you go? God is divorcing himself from his ability to do anything for us unless we show him some money. We have to lose God. Who loosed God? Who loosed God when he created the universe? Did he need any money? Was he asking for offerings when he created the heavens and the earth? And he made man and he made woman and he made all the animals and he made everything. Was he asking for any money to be loosed? These people are so despicable. That I haven't heard anything that bad for quite a while, to tell you the truth. That was really low. That was really low. And if anybody from Rod Parsley's church is listening, or maybe, Rod, you're listening today, you're in big trouble, Rod. You are in big trouble. What are you going to say to God? What are you going to say to him? Have you no fear of God? You're not afraid of God, that you treat the Lord God like this, and you tell people that we have to lose God? Like, what is God doing, sitting on a throne, and he wants to see some greenbacks up there? It's insanity. It just gets more and more insane. And that's why we need more people out there. We need more people on Blog Talk Radio and YouTube or wherever, websites, whatever you can do to preach the gospel, to try to help people to come out of these hypnotic states or whatever they're in, these trances they're in when they go to these places, and they actually sit down with their checkbook and write out checks to these people. They have the illustration of Pavlov's dog, where it's the same thing in this instance, is where they keep telling people, you can have wealth and riches, even if you don't work a day in your life and you don't pay your bills, or you could just live any way you want and do whatever you want, and then God's going to give you some wealth and riches on top of it all. They're being conditioned to believe these things. And like I said before, most people want something for nothing. They have a sense of entitlement or whatever, that people owe me things. So of course we have to remind God that he owes us something, because we smacked a Benjamin now, $100 bill, a Benjamin on the altar. I'll tell you what, I fear for this man. I really do. Because he is really treading on very shaky ground, and lately now he's calling himself Dr. Rod Parsley. But it's like the friend of mine says, where is is this an earned doctorate, or did he buy it at a diploma mill? Did he earn his doctorate degree? How did he become, now he's Dr. Rod Parsley? And maybe even if he did earn his doctorate degree, what did he study? What was he studying over there? Books on witchcraft? because that's what this, that's basically what this amounts to, is witchcraft, because it's certainly not Bible. Smack down some Benjamins and loose God, because he's divorced himself of his ability to do anything for you until you do something. Who has power over God? Who? Nobody. Nobody has power over God Almighty. He can do whatever he wants, whenever he wants. We don't tell him what to do. I don't know, how can people believe this stuff? How do they believe it? It's beyond me, isn't it? Isn't it? Don't you feel the same way, most of you? Like, how does this happen? How do people sit in their living rooms and it's costing this man maybe $5,000 or $10,000 a half hour to be on some of these networks he's on. It's probably costing him $20,000, $30,000 a week to be on one network alone. And yet, the only way he survives is by people sitting there listening to him and getting out the credit card that's probably maxed out anyway, and the checkbook, and then sending him off some Benjamins. So he can buy he lives in a $1 million house. I saw the property records. His house is worth over $1 million. So is his mother's. She was next door to him. So their property alone is worth over $1 million. He doesn't need your Benjamins. He should spend some of his own Benjamins over there instead of taking yours. Why doesn't he sell his house and get his own Benjamins? Despicable person. Here's a number two of Rod and talking about Benjamins.
Sat in the authority of all of the wealth of Egypt.
Yes, sir.
Every bit of it.
Absolutely.
His family was brought to Egypt and given thousands and thousands of acres of ground. They ate of all the wealth of Egypt.
Yes.
Why? Because Joseph was there and exalted. Jesus sits right now. Your Jesus. My Jesus.
Glory be to God.
Not just over the granaries of Egypt, not just over the granaries and the supply of this natural world that we live in. That's why you have to get into the supernatural. Your natural seed unlocks the supernatural.
Yes.
Your natural sowing unlocks the bounty watch of heaven. God, Jesus, sits over the bounty of heaven today and says, ask what you will, and put the key of Benjamin in the door, and turn it, and I'll open the windows of heaven, and there will not be room enough to receive the God.
Hallelujah.
Order your steps. Not everybody. They're not watching. You're watching. God has you strategically positioned at this moment, and the word you obey determines the blessing God releases. Go to your phone. Do it now.
But Joseph blessed.
Oh, dear. You know, notice the scripture twisting. He says, you can ask. You know, you ask what you want, but you have to take the key. The key to getting your financial blessing is to take your Benjamin, your $100 bill, and put the key in the lock. And then that unlocks the blessings. Oh. Now, this guy has the nerve, the gall, to call himself Dr. Rod Parsley. He has the nerve to call himself Pastor Parsley. Pastor of what? And he also is the chancellor or president or whatever of a Bible college. Now, can you imagine this Bible college that they have over there, what they're teaching young people? They're teaching young people these kind of things. How a course on how to manipulate people to get offerings, how to be a success without really trying, 101. Con Man 102, some of the courses that they offer over there at Valor. Is that anything to teach young people? You should be ashamed of yourself over there. That all the staff, the so-called professors over there, and some of them are have earned doctorate degrees that are there on staff with Rod Parsley. Shame on you for inviting young people to come from all over the world and take a year or two out of their life, and their parents probably borrow money to pay the tuition so their children can go to Bible college, which is un-Bible college, to learn how to be a con artist. Despicable. Just despicable. If I were you and I had a child there, I'd get him out of there quick. Fast. Get him out of there. Did Rod Parsley notice his poor daughter, Ashton? He's training her up just to be just like him. He's even got her parroting him. She talks just like him now. It's like, Ashton, you're in your 20s, maybe you're in your mid-20s or your late 20s. You have a mind of your own. So can't you stand up and be and act like a grown woman and have a mind of your own instead of worrying about inheriting the wretched kingdom that your father set up for you over there? Just awful. And his wife, Joni, like, what's wrong with you, Joni? What's wrong with you that you can't, do you want your daughter to wind up like your husband? I don't think so. What is wrong with those people? I hope they're listening. I hope you're listening. I hope so. Because I don't think anybody over there at that so-called church you have over there, any of those elders or professors or whatever, I don't think they have the nerve to tell you the truth. I don't know what they're running over there. They call it a church, but it's not. So anyway, I wanted to give you an update here. Remember, we had talked a little bit about Kim Clement, and I guess it was maybe around September, they said he had a brain bleed and a stroke, so they took him to the hospital, and then he had a surgery, and then again, I think it happened sometime around Thanksgiving where he went back again and had another stroke with a brain bleed, and then just recently they found out that he had a tumor on his brain, and it was cancerous, and so they've removed the tumor, and now they have, he's been going for radiation and chemo, and so I have an audio here that his wife last week was talking about it, and this is what they call their so-called church. It's called The Den. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't really want to go to a den. I don't think I've ever been to a den in my life, and who would call their church The Den? That in itself is weird. And after we listen to this clip, I know I've read some of this before, but I want you to actually hear for yourself what Kim Clement has posted on his website about what he really believes, because most people don't know. They see this man on television. They've seen him many times on TVN because he was good friends with Matt Crouch. And they believe that he's a man of God and he's a prophet, and they don't really know what he really believes. So some of you have probably already heard it, and maybe some of you haven't, but it's shocking, really, when you really see what this man believes. So anyway, here's the update that was posted last week on their website from his wife about Kim's condition.
This is a surprise. I just thought I'd stand up here with you today because we haven't been here together yet. So here we are together. Well, a little update on Kim, and he's doing well. You know, he's fighting this like a real trooper. He's been through a lot this past couple of weeks, and you can start rolling that little. Here he is. He's having the radiation, and they put this mask on his face, and he's got to lie very still. And this thing goes around, and it just targets the area that he had the tumor. That little disc there goes around and around, and then takes about 15 minutes. So every day we're down there to get him ready. Our routine is we get him up, we get him ready, get in the car, we go on this long trip, go down there to UCLA, and he gets the radiation, and then we drive back in the traffic, the LA traffic. So that's our daily routine. And he does this for 6 weeks, and then he's doing chemo at the same time. So we're only going to do this one time. And then we're doing the nutritional thing as well. So just pray for him, because it's tough for him to go through this. It's pretty bad. But he's handling it well. He's strong, and we're putting the vitamins in him and doing all that, so he's okay. He's doing well. He's a strong guy. There's me. Anyway.
Yes, and my mother is pumping him full of nutritional foods and and vegetables and keeping him healthy.
I've got the juicer, and everything goes in the juicer, and if he doesn't want to drink it, he's got a G-tube, and he can't say no, because it just goes down.
Mom loves the G-tube, because she can put whatever she wants, and he doesn't have to even taste it. It just goes right in.
Yeah, so he's getting fatter. He lost a lot of weight, but he's getting fatter. I can see it every day, and his color is really good, and so every time we go down, they say, you know, your color is really good. So I think we're on the right track. We're doing the right thing. You know, God is, when he created man, he gave him a perfect body. And this body can heal itself. It's given the right nutrients. We have a miracle body. And so we're living in a polluted world, and we have things that we don't even know that what's in our foods. So I'm making sure that I'm doing everything right and getting all the organic stuff and doing that too. And so, like I said, he'll go through this radiation and this chemo, and this tumor will not come back.
Will not.
It won't come back. So, you know, I'm put in a position where I have to judge what to do, and I feel that God is helping me to do the right thing. So, at the same time, I'm not being foolish and going, I'm trying to be balanced. And I think balanced is the way to go. When you're sick, you can take what you can from doctors, because doctors, God's given us medicine, but he's also given us the natural ways for our body to heal itself. And so balance is the thing with me, and I've seen it work with my adopted children. You know, they've got heart conditions, and so I feel like I'm on the right track. And so keep praying for us, and the Lord will heal him, and there's no doubt in my mind about that.
No doubt, yes.
So everyone in our household is getting the juicing and the nutrients and the and the selenium and all of these other things that our bodies need. You know, we have to have 90 essential nutrients in our body for it to work properly. And if we don't have those 90, then we can get deficient in things. We can get disease from that. So that's your little nutritional talk for the day.
Yes, because God gave us everything we need in this earth.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we can take care of our bodies, and bodies can heal itself, just like my mom's saying. And there's nobody better to do it than my mother. Because when she does something, she does it right, and she puts her whole heart into it. And this is my dad, so I said to my dad the other day, I said, Dad, your mom's new obsession. And his eyes went wide and he smiled because he knows he's in good hands, and so we're not worried at all. And also, we also had a lovely Easter with Dad, and my brother and I walked him around the neighborhood. We took him for a walk in his wheelchair, and he loved it. And we got back to the house, and he stopped us with his foot, and he wanted to go again. So we went for about an hour. We just took him outside in the sun, and we played him music and made him laugh, and it was just such a beautiful time. And I even snuck him an Easter egg, which my mother wasn't happy about. Just a few bucks.
Well, it's not easy to go through cancer. I mean, not at all, really. And for him to have to go through all this, it's not easy. It's not easy on the family either. It's just kind of ironic because the first time when this first happened, though, in September, they were saying it was an attack of the devil, and when the first stroke came and that he was going to be coming back better than ever, and he was getting his healing, but he didn't. He didn't, despite all their faith confessions, and of course, anybody that's sick wants to be healed. You don't. Who wants to be sick? But to come back and say that we're getting this and we're getting that, and it's going to be this way, and then these things don't happen, the person just gets worse, because obviously from the way she was talking, he's not even talking, he's not walking, he's not talking, so he didn't come back two times better than he was, and they were saying he's coming back and he's going to even have better prophecies and more prophecies, really, the correct attitude is to say whatever God has. I would love to be healed, but if that doesn't happen, that's okay too. Because really, we can only get miracles from God, and we know that God is a miracle worker. I believe Jesus is a healer. I know he is, and I know he's a miracle worker, but we don't always get the kind of healing that we think that we deserve. Or all of us have known people that have died with cancer. It's horrible. It's horrible. No one should have to go through that. But, yeah, I'm not God, and I don't understand things. So it's better to throw ourselves on the mercy of God. And it's like Job said, though he slay me, yet will I serve him. And no matter what happens, the devil doesn't have absolute power over Almighty God. Sure, the devil can attack us, but God is perfectly capable of healing people, and so that they don't even have to go through these things. But sometimes that does not happen. And we can't give the devil so much credit that they like to say, oh, the devil kills people and he kills Christians. Well, no, the devil doesn't kill Christians, because everything that goes on in our life is allowed by God. He allows these things to happen to us, and we all are going to die. So nobody's going to escape that. And the devil does not have the power over death. The Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die. And it also says that precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. So who sets that appointment of the time of our death? The devil? I don't think so. I'm not giving him that much credit. I'm not giving him that much credit that he has more power than God over our lives and over our death. He doesn't. He doesn't. Because God could heal us in an instant. He can heal anybody in a moment of time. And I don't understand why people have to get cancer. I don't understand it. But I can't figure it out. And so whatever happens in this life to us, it's part of our life. And we can't change it. In some instances, we cannot change it. So it's better to try and rest in the Lord and to trust Him that no matter what happens, we're okay with it. And because we don't want to get to the place, and I've seen this happen with people, is they get angry with God, then they're bitter, and we can't allow ourselves to go there because we need the mercy of God. We need Him in our life, and we're going to have to go through things in this life. I don't understand it all. It's just like the day they had those, when those people came to the airport in Brussels, and they caused so much destruction. And you see the pictures of a baby stroller there. In the midst of all the chaos, there's an empty baby stroller. Somebody was pushing their baby, and then all of a sudden this thing happens there. So I don't understand everything. And whatever we can do while we're on earth, we have to try to lead people to Jesus Christ and to make them aware of where they want to spend eternity. What are they going to choose? Whom are they going to serve? And so while we're here on earth, no matter what we go through, let's try to have a testimony, a Christian testimony, to show people that, yeah, we go through things and we suffer as Christians, but we have a God that we can lean on. We have a God that will get us through. I don't know what people do without God, especially in these days. Just think about it. Now, I think I heard it's a statistic that at one time in this country, if not too long ago, there was like 5% unemployment. Okay. Well, now there's 30%. There's over 90 million people out of work. And I think we have a population of over 300,000. So that's a lot of people out of work. And if you're not working, you're not going to get enough money barely from the government to eat or to live. So what are people doing? What are people doing? Someone was telling me yesterday that people were breaking into these homes. They look for empty homes with really for sale signs on them. And they look inside the homes and they see what's in there. If there's a window or a blind opened or whatever, or they know that there's a stove and a refrigerator in the house anyway. And she said they're coming at night and they're breaking into these homes and they're taking the appliances. Now, this is how desperate it is. These are communities with houses pretty close together. I know this community. So this is how desperate people are. Is now they're coming into taking the appliances out of houses. And not houses out in the country. This is, you know, the next house might be 20 feet away from you, and they're doing this at night, coming in. And one of the neighbors said they saw a van casing, probably that was the van that they saw casing the area that didn't belong there. So they thought that might have been who came later and was taking the appliances. So, well, we live in a crazy world. Where people are desperate for money. So I don't care what anybody says about how much prosperity there is. When you have 90 million people out of work, something's wrong. There's something really wrong with the economy. That's a lot of people to be unemployed. So our Christian testimony is important for our neighbors. And of course, we know we're not perfect. No, none of us are perfect. We're all some flesh going somewhere to happen. But we have to try to do our best to witness to people and to help them to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And also to warn people that what they see for the most part on these so-called Christian networks is really not Christianity. It's a business, and it really doesn't have that much to do with God. Occasionally, somebody probably could come to know the Lord watching one of these programs, and they probably couldn't even get saved watching some of these programs. But as far as a representation of the Lord Jesus Christ, they are not. It's not the real gospel. The Bible talks about another gospel, another Jesus, and that's what it is. So it's important for us to take a stand for what's right, no matter what it costs us, if we lose friends or crazy relatives or whatever, that we can take a stand for the Lord Jesus and for the truth of his word, because ultimately that's all we have is God's word. And we need it so much. So anyway, that's it for today. I want to thank everybody in the chat room. Thank you, everybody, for stopping by. And remember, if you have any tips or any ideas that you want to submit to me, tips on ministries, if you see something that's going on and you want to bring it to my attention, you can email me, susan@propheticnews.com. We also have our website, propheticnews.com, and there's some good articles there. There's hundreds of articles on there. And the YouTube channel for Susan Puzio, there's some interesting videos there that can help people. Also, the book, Seed Faith, Can a Man Bribe God? The Kindle version is on Amazon. And next week we will release the print version, which will be on Lulu. And it'll be in paperback and hardback, whichever you like. So thank you so much, everybody, for listening and for sharing the gospel with other people, the real gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, because we want to see the Reformation finished. Amen. We want to see it finished. But the most important thing today is that if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, ask him to come into your life today. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one, except there was one person who walked the earth, Jesus Christ, who was sinless. And we all need to ask God for forgiveness of our sins. And he will forgive us no matter what you've done. He will forgive you and give you a brand new life. That's what it means to be born again. It means first you're born of your mother, then you must be born again of the Spirit of God. But I promised you that I was going to read you this thing that Kim Clement said about being born again, and this might be a good time. He said that when Nicodemus approached Jesus and commented on how he recognized God was with him, great miracles, and for being a great teacher, Jesus responded by telling him he must be born again to see the kingdom of God. Now, this is Kim Clement talking. This is not me. The next step is to enter what is seen. Jesus did not say that you must be born again to be saved or to escape from judgment. In fact, in the New Testament, you will not find examples of Christ or his disciples instructing and warning the crowds to get born again in order to be saved. From what Scripture reveals, it is possible that Jesus did not even use this same terminology again when teaching about the kingdom of God. So was this man Nicodemus, who was recognized by Christ as a teacher of Israel, in danger of eternal punishment? That's not what this was about. Those that have opposed my stand have done so because I teach that Nicodemus was already saved from hell before meeting Christ. This is Kim Clement talking. Yeah, he was already saved before he met Jesus. Well, I don't know. I guess he didn't read John 3. Jesus said, ye must be born again. So if Jesus said it, that settles it. I don't care what Kim Clement says or what anybody else says. So obviously he's not born again himself if he talks such foolishness. And I'm born again. I know I'm born again. I know the exact moment that I was born again. I'll never forget it. I'll never forget how Jesus Christ changed my life overnight. I became a new creature. Old things passed away. I didn't want the old things anymore. I wanted my new life more than I wanted anything. So don't tell me there's no such thing as being born again. Anyway, you can be born again. Jesus said it. Read the third chapter of John. Read the book of Romans. Confession is made with the mouth unto salvation. We must confess the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe that he was born of a virgin, that he died on the cross, he rose from the dead, and he ascended into heaven. And he sits at the right hand of the Father. And he's coming again. This world, man will not destroy this world. No, man will not destroy this world. Jesus Christ is coming again, and this is a promise. And you can have a brand new life. That old life of sin and drugs and alcohol and whatever, you don't have to have that life. No, you can have a brand new life, a wonderful life, knowing the Lord Jesus. So thank you, everybody, and we'll see you next week, okay? Bye-bye for now.
Hey, record, here we go.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there.